At the very end of this session, I want to give you the N word concerning money. And those of you who know what it is, don't tell. So that those who sneak out early will miss it. He that tells it knows it not. And he that knows it tells it not. But there's an N word, a never word concerning money that everybody uses. And it kicks money away from them. Preachers use it. They use it on Wall Street. Great financiers use it. But it's an N word, a never word that you should not use concerning money. And those of you watching by TV, you'll have to send some money and get the tapes if you want to find out. So now, I'm going to give you a definition for money in just a moment, because they taught me in homiletics in the theological seminary, that you should always define your subject. But I'm going to define it somewhere between the first and second commandment. And I'm going to start off by giving you, first of all, Reverend Ike's first commandment of money. And you can get copies of these, as I said, at the break, at the end of the session tonight. And here is commandment number one, and I'm going to have you shout it back at me. Thou shalt not think that money is evil.
Thou shalt not think that money is evil.
That's the first of the Ten Commandments of money, if you want to have a good relationship with it. There's a little commentary on that commandment, and I'm going to have you read it with me as well. Thou shalt not think that money is evil.
Thou shalt not think that money is evil.
But rather, think and say, money is totally good.
Money is totally good.
My desire for money is totally good.
My desire for money is totally good.
And right. I want and use money only for good purposes.
I want and use money only for good purposes.
Thank God for money.
Thank God for money.
And just before you sit down, and then I'm going to tell you something else about that first commandment, I want you to tell about 10 people money is real good stuff. Go ahead.
Money is real good stuff.
Bishop tells me it's all right that the ushers and whoever are going to bring these down the aisle. So if you want a copy of the Ten Commandments of Money, give them $2. Because you need this to follow me. If it ain't worth $2, you are not going to get rich anyway. So they're going to be coming down the aisles and they'll serve you even while I'm talking. I have nothing against money circulating while I'm talking. After all, the bishop says you have to keep money in circulation. So this is not only a seminar, but it's also a money workshop. Let's say a money workshop.
A money workshop.
You see, because we give you principles here that work and that you work with. So it's good for you to keep circulating your money while this is going on. Now, while you're doing that, I want to comment on that first commandment of money. Thou shalt not think that money is evil. Say it again.
Thou shalt not think that money is evil.
And by the way, those of you that are new to my modus operandi, I am deliberately repetitious. Because it is by repetition that the mind learns. How do you think people learn to be so poor? By repetition. How do you think people got so many negative ideas about money that kicks money away from them? How? By repetition. That's why, as you were told, you need to get the tapes and the books and listen to the tapes and read the books so that you can repeat prosperity and success ideas to your mind over and over again. You need to become two things, a bookaholic and a tapeaholic. Let me hear you say bookaholic and tapeaholic. Because again, the bishop reminded us that faith comes by hearing, not having heard, but what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. And this hearing must be a continual process. I have a habit that I don't have time to talk too much about, but I record my favorite scriptures. I've got 5 tapes that I've recorded my favorite scriptures and my favorite affirmations on. And I must have in every one of my residences banks of auto reverse tape recorders. And sometimes all night I put them on and let them play again and again on a low level, not enough to interfere with my sleep or the conscious mind, but to play directly into my subconscious. By the way, I just used the word subconscious, which is somewhat of a Freudian word. And in the Bible speaks of the subconscious as the heart. So I'm going to have Dr. Mary McCarthy write the first of the writing tonight. Subconscious indicates heart. Let's say that. That's it in the Bible. So from now on, when you read the Bible, think of your subconscious when it says heart. That's the deeper mind. Thou shalt not think that money is evil, but rather think and say, money is totally good. All right. What people need to do again in cleansing the heart, cleansing the subconscious of all negative ideas about money, is to exonerate money. You need to give money absolution, to use a somewhat good Roman Catholic term. Let me hear you say absolution.
Absolution.
You must absolve money of all evil. We have been so thoroughly taught that money is evil, so that deep down in many persons' subconscious, way down in the heart, there is the belief that money is evil, dirty, nasty, and stinky. And so your subconscious mind, also working by deduction, says, since money is so evil, since it's so dirty, I really shouldn't have anything to do with it. And while you're working your brains out to get it, your heart, your subconscious, is kicking it away from you with negative ideas. You see, in every respect, you must be born again. Financially, you must be born again. Say that to the person sitting next to you. Financially, you must be born again. be born again. You've got to get your mind cleansed of all of the negative ideas about money. A young man in his early 20s, a minister in Miami, Florida, said something to me very interesting about a year ago. He said, "Do you know why the world does not like to hear the preachers talking about money and teaching the people in the church how to get money?" He said, "Because money is their God. And they don't want you to get a hold of their God." Because you see, when we get a hold of their God, money, we dethrone money, and instead of us serving money, we make money our servant. Yes, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, you've got to cleanse your mind, and I'm going to have you write this down in the first person. Cleanse my mind.
Cleanse my mind.
Of every negative idea about money.
Of every negative idea about money.
You must absolve money of all evil, and you must declare that money is totally good. And we go further here in the commentary. My desire for money is totally good and right. Say it again.
My desire for money is totally good and right.
You see, this helps you to make peace with money. And by the way, that's another statement that I want to pull out. You must make peace with money. Spiritually, we preach evangelistically, make your peace with God. That is absolutely correct, but everything that you desire to be, to do, and to have, you must make your peace with it. You must come to peace with it. You must come to a point in your mind where you have an ease of thought about money, so that it doesn't bother you anymore to have money. So that you no longer accuse money. Now there's a word. Oh, and I don't understand this about preachers. How they accuse money of being evil, but yet they want it before the members leave. And I discover many times about preachers, many times their criticism of another preacher is really because he gets more money than they're getting. I'm not going to call any names, not even of the city or the ministers involved, but I remember when I went to a certain city to have a citywide crusade, and the ministers of various denominations wanted to meet me, but they didn't want anybody to know. Nicodemus is not dead, y'all. Nicodemus still seeks to come to Jesus by night. They wouldn't have it known that they wanted to meet the money preacher. And by the way, I say that with pride. I was walking down the street the other day, and a lady said, "Oh, how are you doing, Dr. Money? Oh, I mean Dr. Ike." I said, "That's perfectly all right, lady. I like that, Dr. Money." Let me hear you say, "Dr. Money."
Dr. Money.
I think I'll go ahead and get a trademark on that, too. But anyway, these preachers of different denominations would not have it known that they wanted to meet with Reverend Ike. And so they got a banquet room in one of the hotels so that they could get me in there and shut me up and talk to me and pick my brain. Because most of them, they wanted to know, how do you do it? And one of the ministers spoke and said, don't you worry about these guys that criticize you, because there's not a one of them who, if they could do the same thing, wouldn't do it. Finally, they got to the last minister there that was minister of a large church and had a large local television ministry. And so he looked at me and paused and drew his breath. And finally he said, I like your money. And of course, my subconscious deducted what he was really saying. That I don't give a dime for your doctrines. And your brash personality. But I like your money. Well, we got to be honest with money. Say that. Be honest with money.
Be honest with money.
Now, you see, that's something we got to do. Be honest with money. One of the characteristics of money is that money does not like hypocrites. What did I say? So you have got to get rid of all of your hang-ups about money. And get rid of all of your accusation of money. Because, you know, accusation is the devil. That's one of the definitions of the devil. An accuser. And if you accuse money of being evil, then you're playing the devil. You're your own money devil. Uh-oh. And another thing, you've got to stop accusing people who have money of being evil, those old rich people. You know what Reverend Ike says? If you criticize the rich, you'll never be one of us. Now, I am going to have a ritual right here and right now so that we can get rid of all of our money hang-ups. You are going to be surprised how money is going to be attracted to you when you get rid of all of your hang-ups, all of your accusation, and all of your guilt complexes about money. See, that's another thing. If you want to be successful and prosperous, you have got to stop having an apologetic attitude. When you pray, when you go to these seminars, when you buy these tapes, when you work with them and meditate upon them, as the first Psalm says, night and day, and you do what the Spirit says do, then you don't have to apologize to anybody for your success and your prosperity. You don't owe the world any apology. And I'm going to tell you something else. You are really not as blessed as God wants you to be until you start drawing some heat. I just got through with a series titled, Can You Stand the Backlash of Having Money and Prosperity? And you know what old Harry Truman said? If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. And I'm here to tell you right away, preachers, when the stuff that you've been preaching starts working, you're going to get criticized for it. I mean, what are you going around preaching about the Lord is my shepherd? I mean, sometimes I think we don't believe what we're preaching. We're afraid that we might get an answer to our prayers. Or maybe God would fulfill his word. Prosperity throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, is promised to everyone who practices divine principles. Believe his prophets. So shall you what? Prosper. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Well, do you believe that? Well, you better get rid of your hang-ups about it or forget it. Get it or quit it. Say that to the people next to you. Get it or quit it. Let's stand. I'm going to sanctify you for money. Now, if you don't want it, sit down. You want to get sanctified for money, stand up. Most of you have already been baptized and catechized and sermonized and had a ride on the roller coaster. Now you need some money. Well, sanctify yourselves and be you holy. Set aside all of those negative ideas you had about success, that you had about prosperity, you had about money. You know, I and my wife have some interesting talks sometimes, and we laugh about certain things. We discuss some of the heat that comes about from being prosperous and having money, and we quickly reach the conclusion, well, we'd much rather deal with the heat of having it. Than the heat of not having it. Because I can tell you, as the song says, I've been there. Oh, and I'm glad I'm out. The Lord saved me, church, from poverty. And I ain't about to backslide. I don't care who sues me, I ain't backsliding. You know, I came to New York at 17 years of age. With minus zero. I pawned my jackets and my high school ring in the pawn shops along 125th Street to get dimes to go to school. That's a long time ago when the subway was a dime. When I'd go back home, South Carolina, to my mother in the summer, I had stripped off all of my clothing and pawned them. So I've been there. I'm glad I'm out. I spoke to my mom in the other world the other day, getting spooky now. I do. I said, Mama, do you know your child has become so rich that he's being sued for over $100 million? I said, Mama, did you ever think I'd be so rich? good time talking about it. And the Lord told me, he said, listen, ain't no way nobody can tell $100 million worth of lies on you and get away with it. Don't worry about it. Now, and as I say, that's interesting, boy, from pawning my jackets for $2 a piece to get dimes. And it's interesting now. But there's a gift of the Spirit. I don't know where it fills in on Paul's list. But I've added one. I have the gift of money. And I say that seriously. Now the saints are going to call Bishop Jordan and say, why did you have him up there to say that? And the Spirit told me that. You have the gift of money. Now I don't want to give it to you. Let me stretch your hands this way. And let me hear you say, I receive the gift of money.
I receive the gift of money.
And yes, there is such a thing as the gift of money. If you were to look back in the history of the world and the history of the United States, you will find great inventors and entrepreneurs and founders of great fortunes who had the gift of money. I know just when the Holy Spirit told me to get into the stock market. And the Holy Spirit told me just how to do it. The Holy Spirit said, get two money management firms to manage your family money and your church and ministry money. Two, so that you will have a measurement between the two. And whoever makes the most interest will get the new money. And so I had my wife, her secretaries, and my Jewish lawyer. He that hath ears to hear. What the Spirit saith unto the church. To interview many Wall Street management firms. And they narrowed them down to five and brought the recommendations and the prospectuses to me. And I chose two. And the first meeting that they had with me at our residence on that very day, the stock market went wild, and it has been going wild ever since. Let me hear you say, I've got the gift of money.
I've got the gift of money.
The Holy Spirit told me exactly when to start investing in real estate. And I just got a report from my Irish accountant. My Catholic Irish accountant today. Because I'd said, well, I don't want to keep my wife working in all of this business all the time. So maybe we'll sell some of the real estate holdings. But the report came back and said the real estate holdings are doing so well we probably shouldn't sell them. I said to the real estate, keep on money making money. Come on, say again, I have the gift of money. Now, I know this is strange, but some of you, you're going to have some strange money things happening to you after this conference. Listen, I hear something now. I hear the bishop calling me in what you would call the future. And telling me some of the things that have been happening with some of the people that were here. Now, you ministers, men of God, women of God, take the power that God gave you, because every gift that God gives to us, he does not give it to us to keep it to ourselves, but to give to you. We can even impart the gift of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, by the speaking of the word. Paul wrote to his son Timothy and said to him, now you stir up the gift of God that's already in you. If you will read that scripture in some other translations, perhaps you'd understand it a little better than in the archaic language of the King James. But the translation indicates in the original Greek and in some other translations that Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you, that was imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. Now, the laying on of hands is not just physical. That's why I stretched my hands and had you to stretch yours. And I turned around here to impart upon all of you the gift of money, the gift of success, the gift of prosperity. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. This night on, your thoughts are going to be different. You are going to be led across bridges of incidents into greater success and prosperity. But I warn you again in the words of the prophet, you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he that gives you power to get it right. And said we would be dangerous. And let me tell you something, you know, the people of God ought to be dangerous. Dangerous to the devil, whoever he is. I mean, you ought to be dangerously prosperous. The late Bhagwan out there in Oregon had such a prosperity consciousness that he attracted some 96 Rolls Royces. All you Christians could do was criticize and preach him to hell. But he had the consciousness for that. You know, I'll even learn from the devil. Not only that, if I can find some good to put him to, I'll use him for that. You see, the Lord, meaning again, esoterically, the law. The principle of life is no respecter of persons. I'll tell you something that in the average church I couldn't say. Woo! So glad I'm here. You see, the law of life, the principle of life, will even work for people who don't have any religion. Now, hold your hat now for this one. Sometimes it works a lot better for people who don't have any religion. Why? Because nobody has the hang-ups like religious people. Is dangerous. And certain kinds of religion is bad for your health and bad for your wealth. Some people make a religion out of poverty. Up at our church here in New York, I have a list of songs titled, "Don't You Ever Sing That In Here." One of the lists on our "Don't You Ever Sing That In Here" is that song, "I Don't Mind the Clothes I'm Wearing. I Don't Mind the Way I'm Faring. If I Can Just Make It In." Make it in where, honey? Listen. If you go into a 5 and 10 cent store looking bad, feeling bad, smelling bad, the store detective is going to follow you around. And yet you're talking about sweeping through the pearly gates, down at the heels? Why, heaven wouldn't agree with you. You'll slip down on those golden streets. So we got to get rid of all this old poverty religion. Stop singing all those old poverty songs. Place your hand in a receptive position now and let's sanctify your mind and sanctify your consciousness. Get everything out of there that can't stand money. And by the way, that's interesting. Do you know, I've had people walk out of my prosperity seminars. You know, frankly, you know, everybody can't stand prosperity. And there, as I said, a lot of highly religious people. In California, one very highly religious lady walked out. She said, I just can't stand to hear that man talking about money. You know, if money bothers you, it's because there's something wrong with you. And I'll tell you deeper what it means. It means that you feel you really feel a condemnation because you don't have it. And you don't want to admit that you really want it. You're lying to yourself. Let me hear you say, stop lying to myself.
Stop lying to myself.
And you see, that's one of the things, and I think there's a chapter on it. Somebody's going to tell me where it is. Don't be indifferent to money. Let me hear you say, don't be indifferent to money.
Don't be indifferent.
You can't have an indifferent attitude. Your attitudes will draw money to you or kick it away from you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Down there in that deeper subconscious. That's why you got to clean it out. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And may the words of my
mouth
and the meditation of my
heart
be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So now we're going to have a cleansing of the heart, a cleansing of the subconscious, and get rid of all of these old ideas about money is evil and people who have money are evil. You know, the fact of the matter is, I know more evil people who don't have money than evil people who's got money. I'm telling you, you know, if you got a house full of children and it's cold and the marshal is coming to put you out because you can't pay your rent, you can get real evil. Even now, when I find myself working and forgetting to eat, and then all of a sudden I discover that I'm hungry, and some member of my staff will come in and ask me a question. I said, get out of here. Don't bother me until you bring me something to eat. I don't want to get evil, so just go bring me something to eat. All right, let's have this cleansing of negative ideas about money. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I dig out all of the negative ideas about money.
I dig out all the negative ideas about money.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
Of all negative ideas about money.
Of all negative ideas about money.
Of all negative ideas that has kept money away from me. I absolve money of all accusation of evil.
I absolve money of all accusation of evil.
I forgive myself for criticizing people who have money.
I forgive myself for criticizing people who have money.
From now on.
From now on.
I will bless every sign of money.
I will bless every sign of money.
I bless everybody.
I bless everybody.
Who looks successful and prosperous.
Who looks successful and prosperous.
So it is.
So it is.
I release the demons.
I release the demons.
Of negative belief.
Of negative belief.
That had kept money from me.
That had kept money from me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Go.
Go.
Before you sit down, there's something else I want you to do that I mentioned. So that you will become attuned to money, success, and prosperity. To counteract some kind of an attitude about criticizing people for success and prosperity, get into the habit of complimenting people whenever you see something prosperous about them. I remember years ago when I first started going out to California, I would have my driver take me through Beverly Hills and Hollywood Hills, and I'd look at all of those beautiful homes, and I'd bless them. And I didn't know who lived in them, and I just said, and whoever's in there, I bless them, and I trust they're enjoying it. And I kept blessing those folks up on the hill until it wasn't long before I was up on that hill with them. Listen, when you leave here tonight, go out in front of this church and bless the bishop's Rolls Royce. Bless it. If you have the opportunity to, before you leave here, speak to him. If you're going to say anything to him, even his employees, don't miss the opportunity of saying to him, Bishop, I am so happy. I am shouting happy to see you with that Rolls Royce. Yours will drive right up behind him. Uh-huh. What did you say, Bishop?
That's how I got mine. I was riding his and blessing his when he brought, I blessed his.
Listen, let me give you a technique. Everything good that you desire to be, to do, and to have, bless it. And listen, and bless whoever has it. Bless whoever's enjoying it. If you see two lovers sitting on the park bench, long before you'll be sitting on a park bench. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever. It turned out so right.
for strangers in the night.
Get these high-class magazines. Everybody, get Town and Country, that's number one. Look through there. Look at all those, there's nothing but rich folks in there. They've even got a few of y'all in there now. Which goes to show you the color of prosperity is green. You get enough green, they'll put you in there too. Turn through there and bless all those people. And then say to them, you know, I'm so glad for you. Well, don't worry about sitting down. We'll sit down in a moment. I got to tell you this, you see. And then I remember I went up to Carmel, California, one of the most beautiful coasts that I've ever seen, along the sea. As way back in 1969, my wife and then the baby came out to spend some weeks as we were having crusades out there, and we were driving along the coast and looking at the beautiful coastline, and so we decided to stop overnight up at the Highlands Inn, and oh, we just sat there and just blessed that coastline and blessed all those houses up in the mountains and so on. And then I remember one day I went back up there by myself and checked into one of those inns, and the place was so beautiful. I said, you know, I'd like to live in this neighborhood. And so I checked with the desk clerk. I said, find out if the owner wants to sell this hotel. He said, no, we don't want to sell the hotel, but we'll send for a realtor. So they sent for a realtor. And they took me to see some houses. And do you know, I just, every beautiful house I passed, I kept blessing it and blessing whoever it was that lived there and enjoyed it. And the next thing you know, I had the highest house up in the mountain. One quick thing I must tell you, in the next 2.5 minutes, very quickly, I remember one day I was going up that hill to that house in one of the Rolls Royces that the Father had blessed me with. All right. And I got to finish this in 2 minutes. And the guard that rides in the Jeep up and down those mountains to be sure people who don't belong there don't come up there, he was coming toward me, and so we stopped side by side. And he didn't know who I was, because I had an Irish gentleman who kept the house for me, you see. And he said to me, he said, are you going to see those people up there? I said, I am those people. People up there.
Those people up there.
Make me some room. You people up there. On top of the world. I'll meet you, I declare.
Remember my name.
I'm in on your game.
I'm in on your game.
You're gonna hear from me. guess my way all the way up there with him. I see myself all the way up there with him.
I see myself all the way up there with him.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Come on. Woo. Now, I was telling you how to be in tune with money, how to be sensitive to it. Become sensitive to the banks that you pass daily. I remember years ago when the church here in New York gave a tour to New York for one of my crusades at the Forum in Los Angeles. One of the assignments that I gave them as the tour bus took them around Los Angeles was to count the banks. And I've instructed my people, never pass a bank unconsciously. You've got to become conscious of money. You've got to become money conscious. Let me hear you say, money conscious.
Money conscious.
When I first started spending time out in California, it just amazed me. All of the banks, side by side. As a matter of fact, if you don't watch it, you'll go in the wrong door. And the banks have these big billboards way up on top of the building. And I would read every one. I mean, there's just something about me that was like a money magnet. And I'd see a sign way up there where they were giving a certain percentage for CDs. And I'd say, stop the car. And I'd get out and get to the phone and call my accounting office. And I said, move the money from Bank A and put it in Bank B. Let me tell you something. Here it is. I've got an economist here, and he's going to give us an academic definition for money in just a moment. But this, I want to tell you something that they won't tell you at Harvard Business School. Only money makes money. On the material level. You can never work your behind and get rich. You have to work your mind. Now, you work your behind for a while. But please hear this. It is the destiny of every man before you leave this world to get to the point where you no longer work for money, but rather money works for you.